Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Monday edition of the program. Hard to believe this is the last week of the 2020 year. And I got to tell you, I'm glad. For the first time, I'm glad to see this year end. We've got some sports things coming up, obviously, this week. The Hoosiers play in a few days. And then getting ready once we flip to the new year. We've got some great college football on New Year's Day. And then, of course, the Hoosiers with their bowl opportunity. And I expect big things from this Indiana team on January 2nd at the Outback Bowl from when they play Ole Miss. I just feel like Indiana, I know, recovering from some issues with the virus, but the much better football team. And the more I read about that game, and specifically the more I read about Ole Miss, I'm just not sure the challenge that game will be for the Hoosiers, unless there's some people missing or some things we don't know about going on with the IU football program. But we're headed to 2021. We'll be with you most days this week. We'll take off, I believe, on New Year's Day, but have a show every other day for you live at 11 o'clock. And glad you're with us. Don't forget, if you can't make the live program, especially around the holidays, maybe you normally listen at work or you're normally in the car at this time or whatever the case is, you can always find our show as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts and really most any place that you find podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe. You can get our show every day each afternoon right after the live radio program comes to a close. We appreciate you listening, being with us, no matter how you're with us each and every day on the program. Also, want to do a better job plugging this. Appreciate those of you that do take time to send stuff in, even when I don't remind you. But love to hear from you. Love to get your questions, your comments, your complaints maybe about IU basketball specifically right now on the air. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can also email the show now. It's HoosierReport@gmail.com. Whether it's something local or something about the Hoosiers, a lot of your messages help me take different directions with guests, and I'll do a better job recognizing those of you that send in questions. So let me know where you're from and your name, and that's my goal as we enter 2021, is to create more fan interaction on the program. I feel like we've got a great base, listening to the podcast, and that I do get feedback from, but I want to increase that as we head into the new year. So appreciate your cooperation with that. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll start the show here in just a few moments with some Zaxby's headlines for this Monday, December 28th. A look at IU basketball and the loss to Illinois. Obviously, that was not a great performance for Indiana. There were some highlights. Armand Franklin, once again, a highlight for Indiana. But we'll talk the good, we'll talk the bad. From the loss to Illinois, we'll look ahead at how important this week is, really, these next few games for Indiana, and I'll give you my thoughts on that coming up. Also, some high school notes. Boy, I tell you what, normally this year, this time of year, I should say, is one of my favorites for high school basketball outside of the postseason and sectional week and things like that, because you've got some great games. I always try to take one day, one evening, and go to the King of the Bluegrass over at Fairdale in Louisville. It's so much fun. Lloyd Gardner's been on this show before. He's a mentor. He's a great guy, great friend. It's something that Indiana doesn't have because of restrictions and rules. We've discussed this before with travel regulations and things, that they just can't have holiday tournaments and travel in and out of state like what Kentucky and many other states do. But I normally make a night over there. There's other great events in Indiana, the Hall of Fame Classic. If we have someone local playing, we're normally there covering it, broadcasting it, or there just watching. But this week's going to be different. Yes, there are some holiday tournaments, and we'll tell you about some of that coming up. But, man, there have been a lot of postponements, a lot of cancellations. In fact, I've noticed that a lot of tournaments have simply went away from a bracket format. They're just going to have just games. You know, maybe you get two games, maybe you get three games, whatever the format is. But teams have dropped out. Teams have been replaced. Sometime an AD over the holidays can't find a team to replace. And so it just becomes more of a shootout or a round-robin thing than anything. But what a mess holiday tournaments are. We'll talk about that for a brief moment, update you on some of the local teams. Also, we'll catch up on IU football and Iowa losing their bowl game. That's a sad situation, another issue with this COVID-19. A great season, six wins in a row, and they won't play in their bowl game. It was canceled due to some issues with their opponent. But that's what we'll do in the opening segment. Then Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he'll join us in segment two. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll kind of recap where the Hoosiers are at and talk about the loss to Illinois. Then we'll flip the script and talk about this week and what's ahead for Indiana. There's some winnable games this week. I'm not sure that any game isn't winnable for Indiana, but I'm also not sure that any game for any team in the Big Ten isn't winnable on any certain night. That's how dang good the conference is this season. So we'll talk about that as well and probably get into some football stuff with Zach. This will be the last time that we have him on before the Hoosiers play in that January 2nd bowl game. Later in the program, Chad Gilbert joins. He's always my connect on all things local on Mondays to get the week kick-started. We'll talk some high school hoops. We'll talk some other basketball topics. So stay with us for that coming up later in the program today. Chad's the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He also is an IHSA executive board member. This year he's the president, and he's a former basketball coach in the area, the girls and the boys coach at Jeffersonville High School. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And before we talk about the loss to Illinois for the Hoosiers, it was 69-60 on Saturday afternoon. There were some bright spots. There were also some concerning things that popped back up for Indiana. But the week ahead, I think, is worth talking about. It is so very important for this Indiana team. Not that either of these games are cinches or that you would definitely think Indiana's going to win based on how the Hoosiers have played so far and based on the opponents. It's not like these teams are chopped liver or anything like that. But Indiana takes on Penn State Wednesday at 8:30. That's Indiana's next game. And, of course, we'll have that broadcast here on the Big X. Penn State currently at 3-3 is Penn State. They also, their last game was December 23rd, lost to Illinois, at Illinois, 98-81 was that final score, if you want to use it for a measuring stick. But looking back at Penn State, they battled Michigan really close, a four-point loss on the road. They defeated Virginia Tech by 20 points. Virginia Tech at that time was ranked number 15 in the country. They lost in overtime to Seton Hall by 6 points, and then they defeated Virginia Commonwealth and Virginia Military Institute as well to come up with their 500 record so far this season. So it's not a lock that Indiana wins, but I think this week is so important because, A, the games are at home. B, Penn State is the next opponent. They're 3-3. They're not Northwestern that's surging to the top of the conference. They're not Illinois that's had some problems but expected to be one of the best in the Big Ten this year. They truly are, I don't even want to call middle of the pack. They are expected to be toward the bottom of the pack in the Big Ten. But, again, they can win some games. They're not bad. They've had coaching problems and dealing with a new coach coming in late. There's plenty of things going on with that program, but they are not a horrible basketball team. And so that's the story of the Big Ten this year. But Indiana's got to get a win over Penn State. If they don't get a win over Penn State, if they don't win these games coming up this week at home, and nothing changes with the Big Ten as far as the floor drops out for a couple teams we expect to be in the top or middle of the pack, it could be a really long year, and we could start already counting the wins that Indiana has to have back against the wall scenario if this team's going to have a chance at the NCAA tournament and if this team's going to have a chance for a reasonable finish in the Big Ten Conference. Because, again, if the Big Ten gets 8, 9, 10 teams in the tournament because of how good the league is, there are going to be some teams that are pretty good, I think, that don't get in. And if Indiana or one of those teams that doesn't get in when we get to that point of the year was in the SEC or a couple other Power 5 conferences, I think they probably get in the tournament. But, again, it's Big Ten basketball. It's the best in the country. We were treated to lots of Big Ten hoops on Christmas Day and around the holidays. That was a lot of fun. I'm not sure that we'll see that become a tradition because of the NBA and their normal schedule. And when they're back in route, they've kind of got Christmas Day locked down. But that was an added bonus to the holiday. But Indiana's got to win these games, I think, especially the Penn State game on Wednesday night. Then on January 4th, Monday, Maryland comes to town for Indiana at Assembly Hall. And again, Maryland, a quality team. But for Indiana, when you look at Maryland, they are a team that you got to win at this point. And Indiana showed they can beat teams like Maryland. I don't think there's any question about that. I have the concerns with the Wisconsins and the best teams in the conference, the Iowas. That's the ones that you think, will Indiana be in those games? Will Indiana have a chance to win any of those games? So we'll see. Big week coming up for IU basketball because the next week, first full week of 2021, starting January 4th, 5th, whatever that is, Indiana that week is at Wisconsin, and we know Wisconsin, we thought, was going to be at the top of the conference, one of the handful at the top. They may be, at this point, the best team in the Big Ten Conference. The best team, T-E-A-M, in the Big Ten Conference is how hard they play, how they play together as a unit, and how well they play defense. They will grind you out. They are really fun to watch so far this year if you're a true basketball fan. Indiana's going to have their hands full there. Then they go to Nebraska, who, again, is not projected to be at the top or even in the middle, but they're not terrible. They're not bad. They can beat a lot of these teams on any given night, and it's on the road. Two games in a row. It'll be coming off a tough one, I'm sure, at Wisconsin. So, again, two home games this week against two winnable teams. You got to get them if you're Indiana. And I tell you what, Archie Miller, you got to get him to get some pressure off of things, to be quite honest. So, interesting week ahead. Actually, interesting 2 weeks ahead. And then you keep on looking in the schedule. And week three from now would be Purdue and Michigan State and then Iowa. So it's not going to get any better or any easier, which is why this week at home, you've got to get wins over Penn State and Maryland. I don't think there's any question about that. I think we can all agree on that. Let's take a quick look at the Illinois game on Saturday, 69-60 loss. I thought a 14-0 run from Illinois in the second half is really what initially separated the teams, just the score and the momentum of the game and so many other things. Trace Jackson Davis was on the bench with the foul problems. You know, it went to halftime 29-27. It was a very competitive back-and-forth game for the most part. Indiana had a battle back a little bit there at the end of the half, but a respectable halftime score. Neither team playing great basketball in the first half. Kind of reminded me of the Louisville-Kentucky game, which was before that game. That was a fun game to watch because it's a rivalry and it had a good finish to it. But boy, that was some bad basketball for teams that are at a very high level in the college basketball world. But back to the Indiana-Illinois game. Second half, a 14-0 run is what initially separated the teams. Indiana did do a good job, especially on the road, of trimming that lead down. I think they got it, back to 3 points at one point, and then Illinois responded once Indiana cut it to three and kind of pulled away for the rest of the game. So some positives for Indiana, some negatives there. Illinois is a good team. I think they'll be a really good team. Some people thought maybe they would be a Final Four caliber team before the season began. I'm not sure about that. Defensively, they're still trying to figure out a lot of things. But Ayo Dosunmu, he is a player. Kofi Coburn, they play off of each other really well. And when you see those two out there, I know they're two NBA talents for sure. And when you look at Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis is probably the only legitimate NBA talent for sure when you think of what could happen next year possibly. But the way those two play off of each other, that's what you hope that Armon Franklin and Trace Jackson Davis can do, or Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis can do, to really have a nucleus there that game in and game out lead you along the way. So Armon Franklin, the player of the game, no question about it for Indiana, 23 points. He was 8 of 12. He played 31 minutes, very efficient. He continues to shoot the three ball fairly well, which has been a welcome surprise for this team that has had plenty of shooting issues. But when you look at things, he is the big standout. Only other double-figure scorer was Trace Jackson Davis. He had 11 points, and again, he was sidelined through a great part of the game, the middle part of the game, with foul problems, and that was when Illinois went on the 14-0 run. So Indiana, plenty to figure out, but a good week to do so, as I mentioned at the start of our headlines, with Penn State and Maryland coming to town this week as well. A couple other notes to pass along. I mentioned that high school holiday tournaments are a wreck this year. I feel so bad for the teams and the coaches, and especially the athletic directors in most cases, that are having to manage these tournaments and find replacements. And we knew that there would be games canceled. We knew that there would be teams that have quarantine because of COVID-19 issues on their team. But I really didn't think about how crazy this would be around the holidays, because in addition to spikes, as you would think, at Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's kind of a time when you've got most of your events, not just your one game, JV varsity game situations. You've got holiday tournaments. You've got shootouts. You've got the big Hall of Fame tournament at Newcastle, which if it goes and it's scheduled to go Wednesday for the boys, it's going to be some fantastic games. We'll tell you more about that later. But I know that, for example, Floyd Central, with some Louisville schools on the schedule in January, which aren't going to be able to play, at least in January, it looks like. And with the they were supposed to play in a shootout coming up here in a week or two at Newcastle as well. They were going to play Gary Westside, who has some terrific young talent, and that would have been a great game, a great statewide matchup. That whole event is off. It was part of the Indiana-Kentucky Challenge Cup, which is put on by the coaches' associations in Indiana and Kentucky. But with those games off, the Louisville games and the Gary Westside game, for example, Floyd Central, they lose three games, bam, 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 in January. And so they're looking to other possibilities to play, and it looks like, according to Jeff Sequeira, the AD at Floyd, that they are going to play South Spencer, who's undefeated, a 2A school, but a very good team this year, on January 9th at Floyd Central instead of the showcase at Newcastle. So I'm sure disappointing for Coach Sturgeon and for the players. It's neat to play at Newcastle, neat to get that statewide exposure, but we're in a season when you just need to get games. You got to figure out how to get games in. And so these ADs and even coaches reaching out on Twitter and social media to other coaches and doing a good job putting it out there that they need games, and hats off to coaches that are flexible, willing to play people maybe twice, willing to go places that they really in a normal year may not want to go. Hats off to them as well, getting the games in while they are healthy, trying to prepare their teams for the postseason and just doing what they can. So schedules we know are going to continue to be crazy, but this will probably be the craziest week of the season, obviously, because of so many holiday tournaments going on right now. A couple other quick headlines from a football perspective. I mentioned at the top of the show, I don't know what to make of this Indiana-Ole Miss game for the Outback Bowl. You want to see in a bowl game the opponent of the team you're covering, you're rooting for, whatever the situation is here. You want to see the bowl game, in most cases, be a 50-50 game, a toss-up game, or maybe even a little bit of a challenge for your team. Now, I could say all this, and Ole Miss could come out and dominate Indiana, or Indiana maybe is not going to be as healthy as what we think they will be coming up on Saturday because of COVID issues that struck the team initially, what, 2-3 weeks ago now. But just to kind of let you know how things are going at Ole Miss, and this happened before Christmas, I just didn't mention it. Lane Kiffin, the coach there, he fired one of the assistant coaches, making some changes before the holidays. Defensive line coach Deke Adams was fired, and he was fired on Monday after the 53-point loss to LSU. So probably not a big surprise to see Kiffin make some changes with his staff. They've been very bad on defense if you look at their scores and some of their stats. But again, you know, it's just not a good look for a team that probably already by Vegas and just by the common eyes not going to be considered to be a huge challenge for Indiana, at least on paper. But it doesn't do a lot to bode well for the promotion of this game if you're the Outback Bowl and you're wanting to promote a good matchup and so forth. So that kind of tells you the problems that Ole Miss is having. And it's just hard to see unless there's something, again, we don't know with Indiana, and I have no reason to believe that there is. And we'll ask Zach Osterman this coming up, but it leads you to believe that there are some obvious issues with the Ole Miss program. Who knows what this bowl game is going to look like? I did see yesterday on Twitter that the first rental truck, the box truck, departed Memorial Stadium, packed with gear for the bowl game at the Outback Bowl down in Florida. So I don't know exactly when the team goes. I would say normally they would be there yesterday or today to get ready and practice on the field and things. But because of COVID, who knows? It could be completely changed and they could not bring the teams in until the day before the game. I have no idea. But obviously we're getting closer to that. One final quick note. Iowa loses their bowl game. And what a disappointment conclusion to the season. They won 6 games in a row, but because of their opponent, Missouri, having lots of COVID-19 issues, that game has been canceled, and that was the Music City Bowl that was scheduled to take place in Nashville, Tennessee. That's a look at our headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a break. We'll come back and talk IU football and basketball with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. And then don't forget, coming up later in the show, Chad Gilbert. We'll talk some local sports, high school basketball, and talk about things coming out of the holidays. We're right here smack dab in the middle of the holidays as well. We got New Year's coming up later this week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We talk IU basketball and football in this segment. And Zach, let's talk about Indiana's last game before we talk about their upcoming week, which I think has to be a big week for this team if they're going to get things going in the right direction in Big Ten Conference play. But for Indiana, they go to Illinois. They battle. It wasn't a great first half by either team, but they battled a 14-0 run in the second half with Trace Jackson Davis out and maybe some lack of other players stepping up beside Armon Franklin specifically helped Illinois come out with an early Big Ten win. And Illinois is a Big Ten team that they're projected to be one of the better teams, but they needed a win at that point of the season as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think in isolation, Sunday's performance wasn't terrible from Indiana. I think we can pick at some things. This is not the first time, for example, we've seen Trace Jackson Davis really struggle with Kofi Coburn. And I think maybe just that sort of size inside. And I don't just mean height, but I mean wingspan. I mean Coburn's, physical strength. And I think that he kind of got, we saw, quite frankly, I'd have to go back and look at the line, but if memory serves, Jackson Davis was really good in the first half in Illinois last year and then really struggled in the second half as Coburn kind of doubled down and improved. There's some other things that you mentioned, Armon Franklin, kind of the converse to that is once again, it felt like just about everybody else in IU's backcourt just kind of struggled to really get consistently engaged with the game, especially at the offensive end of the floor. And yet at the same time, I think you also say that, a game that's decided by 9 points, and I know Armon Franklin makes a couple of really big threes and, time will tell if the player who, for example, came running off that screen late in the second half and just kind of threw up a, I don't want to say an NBA type three, but the sort of three that usually miss the vast majority of college guards miss wildly. And Franklin, dropped in like it was nothing. Time will tell whether, that was a one-time thing or we really are seeing Armon Franklin emerge into, a high level Big Ten guard. I think it's possible that's the case. But for all that we talk about it, there is an element of Sunday's game, too, that was just Ayo Dosunmu being a little bit better than his average, Trace Jackson Davis being a bit worse than his average, and this is what you get. But, you know, from Indiana's perspective, and also Lord knows what this the Northwestern loss means at this point. I have no idea what to make of the Wildcats right now. But if you're Indiana, after what I thought was a pretty productive and, you know, largely positive non-conference schedule, now here you are going into your last game of the calendar year, 0-2 in the Big Ten, and, you know, really feeling, as you said, like you got to start putting some W's up on the board so it doesn't feel like the season's suddenly getting away from you.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. You know, you've covered Indiana. You've been around the school, the program, for many years. We know Indiana fans. They're some of the most engaged in the country. They follow recruiting extremely close. I'd say when you look at fan bases, you know, you could count three or four others that follow it to the interest, to the level that IU fans do. So when things are really good, obviously that fan base is terrific. And when there are some slip-ups, even early on, you know, Indiana fans have plenty of outlets and message forums and social media accounts to voice their opinions on and be read and be visible and be seen. I think there's also some extra sensitivity, though, this year from fans. And maybe an extra panic early on, because we all know and we all write and we all talk about how good the Big Ten Conference is going to be this year. Look at Northwestern kind of coming on strong at the start of the year. There are other examples of that. And so I think this week coming up, the two home games for Indiana, Penn State, who's 3-3 right now, then Maryland later in the week or the next weekend, neither of those games are guaranteed victories. They're both Big Ten teams that may be, especially Penn State, in the bottom of the pack. Who knows? But that just underscores how good the Big Ten Conference is, because those teams can beat anybody on any given night. But in Indiana's situation, at least here in the first few weeks of all-conference play, they've got to get wins at home. You've basically got to beat everybody you can at home. But especially they've got to get the week started right with Penn State and record a Big Ten victory. So I'm curious your thoughts. I think it's common sense to anybody that follows this in any capacity that this needs to be a big week for Indiana, as they've got some home games coming up against not the necessarily top tier of the Big Ten Conference.
No, I think that's very fair. I mean, you know, Penn State is obviously a team that has had a very weird few months, lost a lot from last season. A really surprising win at Virginia Tech, but that sandwiched around a loss to Seton Hall and an 0-2 start in Big Ten play. And then you look at Maryland. Maryland's a team that I don't believe has beaten a KenPom top 150 team yet this season. I know they haven't beat a top 100 team yet this season. These are two teams, two rosters that, frankly, talent-wise, Indiana's got to be able to handle these. And you know, listen, we would have looked at Northwestern and said something similar. And yes, it's possible that we've completely underestimated Northwestern. I also think, too, you know, there is something to the idea of playing without crowds. And I wrote about this after the Northwestern game, because it did feel like there were a couple of really sort of tangible, noticeable moments in that game where it felt like Indiana was almost sort of waiting for its crowd to take over the game. And that's probably an oversimplification. I don't think Indiana's players are standing there in the huddle saying, okay, you know, we got them on their heels, now Assembly Hall will take over. But when you say stuff like that, people tend to say, well, it's the same for everybody. You know, everybody's playing in front of family only, or I think in Illinois' case, in the state of Illinois, I don't think even family can attend right now. So it's a level playing field. You just got to deal with it. And that's true, but it's not the same for everybody. And I don't say this arrogantly, but it does strike me that two of the five teams in the Big Ten that have started the season 0-2 in conference play are Indiana and Michigan State. There's a reason why you mentioned recruiting there. When recruits commit to Indiana or Michigan State or Duke or North Carolina or even in the Big Ten, a place like, you know, Purdue, there's a reason they cite fans. There's a reason that when coaches take jobs, they bring up fans. Jobs like Indiana, they bring up fans. When they win big games at home, they thanked fans. That's the sort of thing that, like, you know, I think you or I, you know, especially we sit through so many press conferences and things like that. We kind of roll our eyes at it and move on. But, like, fan support is a weapon for Indiana basketball, always, you know, and it always has been, and it probably always will be. And without it, I think that there's an adjustment period that maybe we're seeing Indiana go through a little bit here, that they've got to get over quickly, because they're a good team. They're talented. They're not as deep as they need to be, but they may well get there at some point this season. You've got a really good inside threat in Trayce Jackson-Davis. You've got a developing outside threat in Armon Franklin. Multiple guys that can run the point. A very good defense. But, like, this is a season where you're going to have to win games on their merits. You're not going to be able to break teams with momentum. It's just not going to work that way most of the time. And I think this team's got to be ready when you talk about these two home games upcoming, two games that, you know, quite frankly, Indiana should win. You know, they've got to be ready to just sort of simply play the game like as though just nothing else is really involved. I think you've seen that with IU football this year. Mitchell Page, former IU wide receiver, told me once, he said he thinks this team does just – he said the phrase he uses, this team would play you in the parking lot. I'm talking about IU football now. But his point was they're not bothered by lack of fans or – you know, when fans are in the stadium, lack of fan support or perception or anything, they just want to go out and beat people. And I think Indiana basketball's got to adopt a little bit of that too. And I know that it's weird. And again, I know that the temptation is to say, well, this is the same for everybody, so just deal with it and get on with it. But it's not the same for everybody, because not everybody loses as much without home court advantage. And I think that could be one reason we are seeing some weird results thrown up this season, like both IU and Michigan State starting 0-2, with Northwestern starting 3-0. But I think it's also something that teams like Indiana really have to adjust to, because I think your point is incredibly valid. You really got to go 2-0 in these next two games, or else you start to feel, with a very difficult Big Ten schedule in general, maybe the most difficult in the league, like the cards are going to get stacked against you a little bit if you're Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, you mentioned football in your answer, and I want to transition to that as well as we close our conversation. Indiana in the Outback Bowl on Saturday. I know a lot of fans excited to see this Indiana team get the chance to finish the season with a big victory. And the more I read about Ole Miss, and I knew this before Christmas, I just never made it onto the show, and I don't think we spoke about this a week ago, but defensive line coach fired before Christmas. You look at their scores and their record, there aren't things about the Ole Miss program that strike you as exciting or as a fantastic matchup. Now, we have no idea what's going to happen on the field. Crazier things have happened in bowl games, believe me on that. But what's your read on this game? And I know we talked some about the lack of excitement, or that Indiana maybe didn't get the right bowl situation. I know we've discussed this. It's been widely talked about, especially right after the bowl games were released and there was confusion on what was going to happen, and then Indiana ultimately landed in the Outback Bowl after Northwestern and some other teams maybe got bowl opportunities that a lot of people think Indiana should have gotten. But that aside, a bowl matchup, you want to see it be an exciting game, at least the build-up to it. You want to see it be someone that you – if you're a fan of one team, you read about the other team and you wonder, can your team hang with them? Can they beat them? Is it going to be a good matchup? You want that sort of conversation. And with Ole Miss, unless there's something I'm missing, or Indiana is shorthanded, or Indiana just lays some kind of egg on the field in the Outback Bowl, I just don't see how this is going to be a great game. And there's a lot of signs around the Ole Miss program. If you read some of their beat writers and websites that cover their football program, that indicate it's not all positive right now at Ole Miss.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily go that far. I mean, listen, I think it's undeniable that Indiana kind of lost maybe a chance for a signature victory. I think somebody pointed out that Indiana, it's either been since the Virginia game in 2018 or the Virginia game in 2017, that Indiana has beaten a team that finished the season with a winning record. Now, if Wisconsin wins its bowl game, regardless of what happens to Indiana in the Outback Bowl, that goes away. But I do think there's a determination for a team that has to its credit, consistently been able to focus only on itself and what it can control and what it's worried about for pretty much, you know, this entire strange COVID season. I do think there is a determination to say Indiana wants to win this bowl game because it's tired of that last bowl win, 1991 statistic kind of hanging over its head. It doesn't really care who it beats or how it beats them. It just wants to wipe that off the slate and go into, you know, the next few years of Tom Allen's tenure without, you know, that kind of lingering over. That goes back to that 10, 26, and 50 thing Allen's mentioned a lot, that he mentioned the night he was hired. 10 years since a winning record, obviously, a season ended with a winning record. Obviously, that's off the table now. 26 years since Indiana won a bowl game, that's now going to be 30 years if they don't win this one. You know, 50 years since the Big Ten title, obviously, that's what everybody in the Big Ten strives for, but I don't think Indiana fans are demanding that right now. My point is that I suspect there is an ability for Indiana as a team to see this game in isolation and see it as the opportunity that it presents. And you know, maybe if anything, be a little bit hardened by that sense of disrespect that I think was pretty evident in the way some players reacted to the bowl. Even Tom Allen, who I think tried to be a lot more measured and, you know, not sort of turn it into a pity party or anything like that. As for the Ole Miss matchup, it's actually kind of fascinating. Ole Miss, if you look at their numbers, they average 40.7 points per game. They allow 40.3 points per game. They have, as you say, thrown some wild scores up, some just absolutely wild scores this season. I mean, I think they lost 63-48 to Alabama in a game that was tied in the fourth quarter. You know, Matt Corral is the third leading passer in the conference in terms of yards per game. He's first in the country in total offense, individual total offense per game. Lane Kiffin obviously has a strong sort of history as an offensive coach, and, you know, not a coach who's wedded to his system so much as a coach who's able to fit the way he wants to play offensively around his best talents. And I think you've seen that this season. Of course, the issue for Ole Miss that sort of throws a wrinkle into it is two of those talents are not going to be playing in this game. Ole Miss's two leading wide receivers or two leading receivers, Elijah Moore, who's a wide receiver, led the Big Ten in receiving yards per game, led the SEC in receiving yards per game this season, and Kenny Yeboah, a tight end, who led the SEC in yards per catch, had both opted out to prepare for the draft. Ole Miss has also got some injuries at running back, some third and fourth wide receiver concerns due to injury. And so you just don't really know where Ole Miss is going to be health-wise, depth-wise for this game, but they will have Matt Corral and they will have Lane Kiffin. And again, Kiffin's strength has always been that he fits his offense around his best players. So I think this is going to be a game where Indiana's going to have to be prepared to score some points, but then you look at the other side of the ball, and quite frankly, everybody scored points on Ole Miss this season. I think they're the second worst scoring defense in all the Power Five behind Kansas. So it's a difficult bowl matchup to kind of figure out, because you have a couple of big glaring misses for Ole Miss, and you don't know exactly how to balance those against the respect for the quarterback coach combination they've got on that side of the ball. And then on the other hand, you've kind of got this, you know, if Michael Penix is the, not to disrespect Jack Tuttle, but we've only seen him play one game, really. You know, in that game, he threw 22 passes. If Michael Penix is the starting quarterback with a season's worth of evidence against this Ole Miss defense, you say, well, Indiana's going to have a field day. And they may well with Tuttle, who I think played very well at Wisconsin. And if Miles Marshall doesn't drop that easy touchdown pass, Tuttle comes out of that game, you know, something like 190 yards and three touchdowns. And we say, wow, that's given this Wisconsin, that's a really good performance. But because you just have that little bit of doubt, you just feel like when you try to do the offense defense matchups in both directions in this game, you just aren't sure. And I think it's going to be fascinating to kind of see how it plays out. But I would be surprised. The one baseline thing I would be surprised is to see Indiana not up for this game. I think there is a real desire within this roster to make this game count.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, happy new year. Thanks, as always, for being with us to, as I always say, help kickstart the week from an IU perspective. We appreciate you, and we'll talk with you again in 2021.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always. Happy new year to you, too.
Thank you, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, and we'll head to a commercial break, come back with a final segment, a quick one today with Chad Gilbert. He's a Charlestown High School Athletic Director, former coach, and current IHSAA Executive Board member. We'll talk about crazy schedules and changes with lots of holiday tournaments locally and beyond, a couple other high school basketball notes as well. Stay with us. One more segment coming your way here on this Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Well, it was a pretty slow weekend for high school basketball because of how the Christmas holiday, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day fell. A few games on Saturday, but nothing terribly exciting to talk about. But Chad Gilbert, high school athletic director at Charlestown, IHSA Executive Board President this year, and of course a former basketball coach, he's with us as always on Mondays. And Chad, I don't think you have any kind of holiday tournament that you have to run at Charlestown, but speaking for ADs everywhere, one of my favorite times is the holiday time to see lots of different games, lots of different teams. A lot of times you get interesting matchups. Teams can travel a little bit more because they're not in school. But tournaments this year, whether it's a simple four-team holiday tournament like the one that's been going on forever at Silver Creek, which begins tomorrow, or whether it's one of the big ones in the state or elsewhere, a lot of them canceled, some of them postponed, and many of them have become scheduling nightmares with teams dropping out.
Matt, before we go into this, talk a little bit about, it seemed like you had some new walk-up music or something when you left your last segment. It seemed like you had a different feel coming in and out of the segment. Maybe that's something for 2021 you're trying to throw at us a little bit early to get.
No, you probably don't ever listen outside of your segment. We've been doing that
It may have been the remix version of the Christmas version. I'm not sure, but that's something to think about. But Matt, I hope you had a great Christmas. We had a great Christmas, and we are limited to our family. We did, however, get honey baked ham. We had slices this year. We didn't have a whole lot of people over, so I'm looking for a ham bone out there so we can make some bean soup and ham salad for New Year. But we are looking forward to having a good 2021. On your tournament situation, Matt, I think it's something we all look forward to. Silver Creek, Charlestown, Providence, Clarksville, holiday tournament. It's something that's, you know, takes pride in the longest holiday tournament in the state with the same four teams. And that's almost a George Costanza, the assistant to the assistant traveling secretary. But it is something that you can be proud of, that you've managed to keep that tradition going on throughout the years. It's something that probably we need an opportunity to play other teams, but I'm not going to be the one that breaks that tradition. It's going to, if the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament ever goes away, Chad Gilbert will have a no vote on that one because of the tradition on that one. But I think ADs have juggled around. They've made changes. People are moving on the fly. But one thing that hasn't changed, and I think, Matt, this is something you can talk a little bit about, and it's something we've both played in, is the Newcastle Hall of Fame tournament coming up. And New Albany got a firsthand look at Luke Brown last week, who I think you and I both thought was outstanding. Not just, we knew he could score. And, you know, when I was coming in, I was thinking about, if you ever seen Scott Shane play back in the day, if you ever seen that, the way he went, that's what I was expecting to come in here. And this guy was like Scott. But one thing playing with Scott growing up, Scott don't like to pass. And this Luke Brown would pass the ball on a dime. And, I mean, he would get guys with layup after layup after layup. So, you know, to see him out there play, I thought was outstanding. And to see those guys, to see this tournament at Newcastle, I think it's going to be very good basketball if you think the four teams matched up in that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. I know Chris Mays put a lot of hard work in on that with tickets, and they weren't even sure until Wednesday when they found out what color code the county would be, fans would be able to attend and how to do tickets. So it's been a mess, I think, trying to get tickets out to the schools and sell them digitally, and everybody's going to basically have to get them as a will call situation. But, yeah, it's going to be fabulous. Luke Brown, they play – let me make sure I've got this correct. I think they play – Bar Reeve, is that correct, out of the gate? Of course, Bar Reeve just took Carmel to the wire last week, so should be some fantastic games. That's Wednesday, and everything there scheduled to be a go, so let's hope that that's played. We may not be able to be there, but we can watch some great basketball on Wednesday.
And Matt, one thing to add on that, piggyback from the Hall of Fame, it's an opportunity for people to support the Hall of Fame. If anyone has not had that chance to go to Newcastle, one, to see the tournament itself. It's an outstanding, well-run tournament. Hall of Famer Chris May does an excellent job up there with the Hall of Fame. But it's more than that. It's just the feel. It's the history of everything involved in it. And if you get a chance to see that museum, you'll feel that going in. And I think when we've taken our teams up there, man, I think that's something that the kids appreciate. I've had several tell me they've went back to see it again. And it's something that you really get an appreciation of what Indiana high school basketball is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad, I've had a couple questions come in while we were talking. What's the ticket situation for the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament that begins Tuesday night?
Well, a unique situation this year, Matt, is GoFan. John Debo has done an outstanding job. And let me just say, props to John on what he's done over to allow this tournament to go on. Make you go on basket, and Levi and I, we've all come together. We've worked together on this one. It's going to be a little bit different. As far as the Queen goes, the Queen will only be out and announced on the championship game on Friday night. Tickets will be on GoFan, $6 per ticket, and the gyms will be cleared in between games. So, for instance, if you go to Silver Creek Providence game at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, the gym will be cleared, and then fans will be allowed in for the Charlestown, Clarksville, in our situation here, Matt, we're going to bus in, leave until 7 o'clock. John's going to have a walkthrough up at school. They're going to be dressed, ready to go, wear their sweats, come over there, gather sweats, go out on the court, 20-minute warm-up and play. So a unique situation, get in, get out. Hopefully something the kids can enjoy, something that the fans can be, back at it, something we can get regular in 2021.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, Happy New Year. We'll talk again soon and appreciate you coming on with us Mondays.
Matt, have a healthy, happy New Year, positive 2021. And you said maybe 21 we could get more minutes. Happy New Year.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for Monday's show. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.